another, to strengthen one another, and to just pull on heaven together. And I really, I'm thankful that the Lord is faithful, and He comes. He comes. So, this week, as I was praying about what to share, I was struggling. I just kind of had like an idea in my heart, but I did not know where to go with it. And, you know, just kept being drawn to the idea of just repentance, looking at our heart, turning our heart to the Lord, and just being humble before Him, and just that posture. I had a picture almost of just as a church, like just humbly kneeling and just surrendering and being like, Lord, I need You. And I like, that's just kind of the sense when I kept praying. I'm like, okay, God, so what do I do with that? But that's, you know, several days as I just tried to take time, it's kind of the picture I felt. And I was like, the other day I sat down at the table and I opened my Bible and I was going to read Psalm 51, because when I think of repentance, it's one of the scriptures that often comes to me, is just how David, when he was confronted with his sin and finally acknowledged it and recognized that, he began to cry out to God, Lord, would You forgive me? Would You wash me clean? And we're going to read it later when we take communion. But I opened my Bible, and it actually, you know, sometimes your Bible just flops open. Well, it flopped to Jeremiah. And I didn't think much of it. I just started to flip over to Psalms because that's what I was going to read. And I just heard this clear thought in my mind, Jeremiah 9. And I was like, okay, well, I'm reading Psalm 51 first. And so I read Psalm 51. And then I thought, I should really read that, because that might have been the Lord. So then I flipped back to Jeremiah 9 and I began to read it. And there was a couple verses just poof, out at me. And so that's where I just started, you know, and when you open a verse and it's something speaks to you, and you start following the trail, like there's this concept and this idea, and it's like you just bounce around a little bit. And that's where we're going to go today, because I just felt like there's some things in that God specifically spoke to me that I'll share later. And I think some of it's just for all of us this morning. And so, yeah, we'll see where we end up. But Jeremiah chapter 9, I just wanted to start here. And again, this is just, I just get this sense all week that we just need to come before Him, get our hearts, you know, have a heart of humility and have a heart of repentance. And so when I started reading through this chapter, here these scriptures just popped at me here, and it says, therefore, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, verse 7, see, I will melt them down in a crucible and test them like metal. Another version says, I'll refine them. You know, what else can I do with my people? For their tongues shoot lies like poisoned arrows. They speak friendly words to their neighbors while scheming in their heart to kill them. Ouch. But this picture in this chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, you can look at it for context, but the idea is that God is saying, how can I leave this undealt with? Like, there's, my people are not living the way they should. And so He says, I'm going to refine them. I'm going to melt them down. And there are several places, again, with this concept in Scripture of a refiner's fire, where God refines us, where Scripture talks about us being refined like silver or gold. All right? Zechariah 13 is an example. And it says, I will bring that group through the fire and make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. And I really believe that there is part of what we see in Scripture is that when we actually come to the Lord, when we get our hearts right with Him, as we are purified, it allows us to actually draw closer to Him. It opens our hearts up to receive from Him. And so when we take this step of faith and say, God, I come to You. And again, we start by saying, I'm sorry for the wrong I've done. Because not a single one of us, I know that sometimes we look around and think, well, they've got it all so nicely together. No, we all need Jesus. Amen. Every single one of us. And there's not a single one of us that hasn't blown it. And so you can look around and somebody can look nice on the outside like they've got it all figured out. But on the inside, we all need Him. And so nobody is any different that way. And we all are desperate for a Savior. And so there's this, you know, when we come to God with desperation, He hears us and He responds. And part of that, the way we come to Him is by saying, God, I am sorry. I trust in You and I surrender to You. And again, that allows us to go through this process of allowing Him to speak to us, allowing Him to transform us from the inside out and to change. And so anyway, there's this picture that you see in the Bible, is that as we're refined, we become like Him. As we repent and give our hearts to Him, He changes us, because we become open to what His Word says for our lives. It's easy to want to do it my way, but my way doesn't work. It's got to be His way. If He is Lord of my life, if He is my Savior, then I have to make Him Lord of my life. He can't be like second place to whatever I feel like today. But what He says goes. Amen? And so, as much as I might feel like doing something different, as much as I might want to do something different, if God says to repent, to be humble. That's what I'm called to do. And that's how I draw near to him. And so, anyway, I just, as I begin to look at some of these scriptures on being refined, and I just, you know, you begin to realize sometimes, yeah, this is one of the keys that God has given us to actually drawing close to him. And I began to think about scriptures like Psalm 24. It says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Listen to this. Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. So there's scriptures like this, again, that point us towards the desire, the need that we have to be made clean by the Lord. And it only can happen by coming to Jesus. We are washed clean because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so we can only access forgiveness and freedom from our sin, from our mess, through Jesus. There's no other way. And so there's scriptures, again, that pop into my mind, like Matthew 5:8. Where it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So if you have a pure heart, you can see God. Again, this concept of, like, if my heart is pure, I can come close to him. I'm going to receive from him. I'm going to hear him more. Psalm 12:6 says, the Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Listen, the word of God is pure. It's perfect. His promises are perfect for you and for me, which is awesome. It's good news. Means they never fail. It means it's not questionable, like, you know, on Mondays it works, on Tuesdays maybe, on Wednesdays, you know, he's having a bet. No, it's not like that. His word is true every day. And he doesn't change, ever. So if he's faithful 1,000 years ago, the good news is he's faithful today. If he was faithful yesterday, he'll be faithful tomorrow. In your life, you can count on that. It's a promise for you. His promises are perfect. It was interesting, I was reading a little bit about the whole process of refining. Like, you know, they call it smelting, right? Where they burn silver and gold, they melt it to purify it, right? You want the purest, it starts out like an ugly looking rock kind of thing, and then they melt it down, they get all the impurities out, and you get this as pure as possible gold or silver. That's what they work toward. I was reading it, and they actually said, like, they heat up the silver over and over again, and they get it really hot, and then they skim off the top. It's called the dross. And they skim it off, and then they heat it up, and then they do it again, and they keep doing it. And they say they often do it up to 7 times. I was like, look at that. It's in Scripture even. And so there's this purification process that happens as you begin to heat it up with pressure and take off the impurity. And so the idea is it's heated up, cleaned off, heated up, cleaned off, and what you're left with is this pure, or like 99.99% gold or silver, which is pretty amazing. And as I was reading, I just found it fascinating. It said this, the refiner has two specific ways of knowing when the silver is purified and ready for use. First, the rock, once hard and dull, now become fluid and clear, or mirror-like. So when the silver is at its purest, the refiner can actually look into it and see the perfect reflection of his face. Which I thought, you know, when you think about this being in Scripture, tell me that that's not a metaphor or a glimpse of what it's like with Christ being in us. That as he refines us and purifies us, we are a reflection of him back. That's pretty neat. And so this picture of Jesus in us, you know, it's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit who is cleansing us and changing us from the inside out. But he purifies us, and over and over and over, as we go through things and as we turn to him and repent and cry out to him, he begins to transform us and we become purified. Because who are we called to represent? Jesus. Who are we called to look like? Jesus. He is in us, and so he needs to be alive and visible in our lives. So the other way that they can tell if it's been purified is once the silver has cooled, the refiner or the person can rub his finger along the silver, and it'll make a noise, much like the noise one makes when rubbing his finger around the top of, like, they said a silver goblet, but I've done it with glasses. I mean, you can take a glass and, you know, lick it and go like this, and you get that sound, right? And I just found this fascinating because I got thinking, okay, so, you know, this is like a song that's birthed out of pressure and pain, right, in our lives. And so you can run your finger across that refined, purified silver, and it makes a sound. And to think of what that metaphorically means to us too. It's in Scripture that, you know, we go through hard trials, don't we? We go through hardship, we go through struggles and pain at times. And yet when we keep turning to the Lord, we keep relying on him and trusting in him, then there's a sound that comes that is offered from our life as a sacrifice that is pleasing to him because of what we've been through. And as he purifies us and brings us through the fire, we can give him glory in a way that is so unique and precious to him as he purifies us and cleanses us. Isn't that cool? I don't know, I was reading this and I was like, I never thought of that before. I didn't realize that. And so your life, I don't know if you realize this, but your life does give off a sound. One day, I actually have a few books that one day I'm going to get to reading, but it talks about actually the whole concept of sound and frequencies. That, I mean, everything in this world, so much of it goes by frequency, we don't realize it, right? But our lives, our bodies actually give off frequency and sound. And it's interesting, just, you know, anyway, there's lots of neat stuff you can study with that, not New Agey, but just how the way God made us. And it's fascinating to me, the way that music moves people. We think about music and stuff like that, but that's not by accident. Like, it's frequency, and it's the way that God has created us to respond. Anyway, that's a whole other thing for another day. But our life gives off a sound, and remember, we're called to sing what? A new song, right? And so as we go through life, and as we go through challenges and hardship, and as we trust him in this process of growing with him and walking in this faith journey, and we start here and we continue to grow as we trust him in the hard times, you know, our life begins to give off a new song and a new sound. And that's, we have a testimony, don't we? We have stories to share with the world that this is what God has done in me. And it's our history with him, which is his story in us. I think that's really cool. And so this is the way God has designed it to work. That we, like, it takes, here's the frustrating, or maybe not frustrating, but tough part. It means that we have to go through stuff to actually be refined. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you know, it's not all going to be rainbows and unicorns. Like, we have to face stuff. And the challenge is, we have to continue to turn to him, to run to him, to look to him, to trust in him, to allow that refining to go on. Because we can stop. If we say, God, I don't want you, I'm doing my own thing, we can stop there. But he's drawing us and inviting us to come, to become more pure, more like him, and to surrender our lives completely to him. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the Bible often puts joy with trials. It's like, what? Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. I know in our world, in our culture, we want instant gratification and instant pay, right? But the Bible tells us that when that day comes, we'll be recognized. God doesn't miss anything in our lives. And so when we go through stuff and we honor him still, even though it would be way easier to be like, God, I'm done. he recognizes that, and it is not lost on him. When we serve people and we love people, even when it's not comfortable or easy or it costs us something, we go out of our way. Not everybody needs to know what you did, but when you honor and bless people and you know, you see somebody struggling to get their groceries to the car, you see like those simple little things that you can do for others, God sees that. And even though it costs you and you're in a rush and you're like, I could do better other things right now, you go and help that person and God sees those things, right? And that's part of us growing and changing. You know, I have another couple of books sitting in my office that I want to read about change. I have lots of time on the airplane next week. But I was interested, there was a few people put out books on change, and I thought, you know, it's interesting how sometimes the Lord has themes that seem to all come out. And I read a few pages of one, but basically, you know, when we change because we have to, generally. We get comfortable in our habits, don't we? And until something comes along and is like, you need to change because of health or whatever outside force that makes us move, we so often just get kind of get in our zone. And we become creatures of habit. And so sometimes trials are necessary to actually help us get on track with the Lord. And so we have to go through those things, and they're never fun. And they're hard, but the Lord allows some of these trials in our life to stretch us, to push us, to help refine us and get us in the direction we need to go. I think I'm going to skip some of this, but you know, you can look at Malachi. And the Lord challenges the people in Malachi, And he basically says, like, hey, you're giving these sacrifices that are dishonoring to me. Your heart's not in it. And he goes on to talk about tithing and giving and stuff too. The picture in Malachi, if you read through it, you'll see that we're called to lay our life down, to give everything to honor him. And it's our time, our money, our resources. But he wants to refine the way that we worship. And he challenges the Levites in Malachi and says, listen, it would be better to get all that tossed out. Like, you guys need to worship with your whole heart. And he wants pure worship from us. And again, that comes out of a pure heart. Part of the purpose of his refining, I think, in us and in the church in general, is to restore worship of his people, where it's actually acceptable because our hearts are pure and set on him. And remember, Jesus addressed this with others too. Like, don't, you know, if you have an offense or you have something with someone, you know, don't come worship and make a big deal. And don't, you know, when you go to fast and pray, don't be like, oh, look at me, I'm such a special person. I'm hungry because I fast. You know, he's like, no, do this, but don't make a big show about it. It's not about the praise you're going to get from some other people, but he's like, get your heart right. And our hearts need to be right. Psalm 139, verse 23 says this, search me. Sorry, I skipped that one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Can that be our prayer today? God, would you search me? Would you examine my heart? Would you point out anything in me that offends you? It takes courage to face that stuff head on, because I think a lot of times we know that there's things in there that he dealt with, but we'll just move on to the next. Like, it's okay. And so I just encourage you, like, if the Holy Spirit brings up something in your heart, deal with it. He wants to refine you. And honestly, I do think that sometimes if we would just go to God right away, if we would have this attitude, this heart of humility and surrender and repentance, we probably would be protected from some of those trials we go through, because he'd be able to move in us already. But sometimes we have our heart hardened because we're not willing to let him in. And it takes sometimes, you see, here's what happens. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we get really desperate for God when we're in a crisis, but then we don't talk to him until the next crisis? And then you wonder, why is it I only see God move in crisis? It's because we don't talk to him, we don't approach him, we don't have any relationship with him. And he's inviting us to walk with him, to be near to him every day. Psalm 26. I think I put this up here in the message. I liked how the message put it. Clear my name, God. I've kept an honest shop. I've thrown in my lot with you, God, and I'm not budging. Listen to this. Examine me, God, from head to foot. Order your battery of tests. Make sure I'm fit inside and out. Again, this is, if you look in other versions, it's talking about the whole refining thing. Like, examine me, purify me, so I never lose sight of your love, but keep in step with you, never missing a beat. I don't hang out with tricksters. I don't pal around with thugs. I hate that pack of gangsters. I don't deal with double dealers. I scrub my hands with purest soap and then join hands with the others in the great circle. Dancing around your altar, God, singing God's songs at the top of my lungs, telling God's stories. God, I love living with you. Your glory, your house glows with your glory. And you know, just one second, that verse 6, where it says, I scrub my hands with pure soap, and then join my hands with others in the great circle. And again, that's a picture of being cleansed, being made whole, and this love for the house of the Lord, this love for worship, this love for his presence. This gives us a picture of why David, the Bible says that David had a heart after God, is because he was passionate about being in God's presence. And it was like, God, examine my heart, check me out. Is there anything here? Because I want to come closer. And David understood that if there was any sin, anything wrong, it was a barrier for him to have intimacy with God. And so we need that. There's this drawing. And let's finish reading it, and I'll just share something else about that. But you know, when it's time for spring cleaning, don't sweep me out with the quacks and the crooks. I like the message. Sometimes it's fun. Men with bags of dirty tricks, women with purses stuffed with bribe money. You know I've been above board with you. Now be above board with me. I'm on the level with you, God. I bless you every chance I get. I love that. And again, it's speaking to this. How do we live? Like, do we actually really believe what we say we believe? And are we living it out? Titus chapter 1, 15 and 16, I didn't put it up there, but it talks about people living one way and or saying they one thing and living another. And you know, we need to walk out our faith. We need to live it. When I think of that scripture, you know, of washing our hands, washing my hands clean, it reminds me of James chapter 4, where it says, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And our loyalty can't be divided between God and the world. If we want to have him, we have to be all in. All the time. All right? He's saying not just a little, you can't just have one foot in and one foot in. I forget the exact saying, but there's an African proverb that says he who tries to walk two roads will split his pants or something like that. It's like, you know, you just can't do two at once. All right? It goes on to say, let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up and honor you. So another example or a picture that the Bible gives of this idea is, you can read about is circumcision. Fun. And the Bible talks about circumcision again as this picture of cutting off anything that is not clean, that like cutting of our flesh. So if you want to look up Romans chapter 2, I think we all understand, like in Jewish culture, because of the covenant they have with the Lord, part of that covenant was they were all to be circumcised. It was an outward sign of them belonging to God, right? So you read about that in the Old Testament. But Paul often talks too about there being a circumcision of our heart in the New Testament. And so he says a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. And that right there could be a message all on its own. Who do you care about? Who are you worried about? The praise of people or the praise of God? He wants us to pursue him, and that means that we have to actually cut things out of our life that don't honor him, that don't belong there, that take away from our walk with him. And so there's this picture, again, of cutting so that we can be cleaner and closer to him. Jeremiah 4, I didn't put this one up there, but Jeremiah 4, 4 says, O people of Judah and Jerusalem, surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the Lord, or my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of all your sins. Colossians chapter 2. You know, we often don't, we skip a lot of the Old Testament stuff sometimes and just think, well, it's, you know, the Old Testament. But sin matters to God. And he deals with it very severely in the Old Testament. And it's like a shock to us, like, why would people get killed? Why would this happen? It's because sin's not okay. And we can't leave sin in our life. And yes, we're in the New Testament. Yes, we have a new covenant, which is amazing. But sin still derails your intimacy with the Lord. It's not okay to have it in your life. And so, thankfully, Jesus died for that. Thankfully, we can freely get rid of it, but we still have to do that. So I want to read this chunk of scripture. We got some people getting baptized today, and I thought it fit just perfectly. But there's this picture, again, of... You know, again, Jews were circumcised physically, but we have this spiritual circumcision that has to happen where our heart, our flesh has to be crucified. And part of that is we have to die to ourselves, and just like Jesus died, we die daily so that we can be raised with him. And we have new life in him because of that choice, but it's, again, it's a circumcision of the heart. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature, all right? Sinful nature is cut off. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. I don't know if you got that, but that's really good news. All right? He canceled the record of the charges against us. You and me. Okay? When we turn to Jesus, that record is gone. Washed clean, forgotten. Not something where you can like auto-recover out of your garbage can on your computer, but it's like gone. All right? forever gone. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by this victory over them on the cross. Jesus did it on the cross. He made it so that we could be free, you guys. Part of the refining process that we go through as followers of Christ is allowing our flesh and our fleshly desires to be cut off. Because it's not okay to just live like the world anymore, because I have a better hope. And I have purpose in him. Doesn't mean I have to be perfect to come to him. Not at all. You don't have to behave to belong. But when you belong, you have to surrender to him. And he will change the way that you live. You come just as you are, a mess. And you trust him. And you work with him. And you continue every day to say, I choose you, Jesus. I choose you over living a lifestyle that dishonors you. I choose you over anything else the world can throw at me. We have an inheritance in Christ. We have access to him. And we are invited into the presence of God here and now. But it starts with us being humble and repenting and continuing to run to him. Not holding on to stuff, not setting things aside, not being okay with sin lurking in our hearts and in our lives. So I want to end with this, just this thought today. If you jump back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. So I'll just show you, this is how God speaks to me sometimes, with scripture. And just in general, I find that sometimes, you know, have you ever noticed sometimes you ask God questions, he doesn't always answer you right there? And then at just the most random time you didn't expect it, he does? And so anyway, when I sat down at the table earlier this week and I was reading the Bible, I'll just be honest, this last little while, I've been just asking God, like, God, what does success actually look like to you? And I've asked other people, like, you know, what do you think success to God is? And I heard someone recently say that success is obedience. And I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, like, simple obedience, that's something we can all do. Because, you know, the success in the world's eyes, you can heap on the pressure, like, you're never good enough, you never feel enough, you're never going to make it. All those kind of things get heaped on you because you're like, I don't look like so-and-so, and I haven't made it like so-and-so. You start to compare yourself, and it's a crazy, dumb thing to do. And yet, what God says is, yeah, simple obedience. And then he led me to this scripture, and I was like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks the other day when I was sitting there. Because I've been praying this a bit. I was like, Lord, like, what actually, to you, what does it mean to do well? And this chunk of scripture hit me, and it says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. All right, so this is what the world thinks, right? The world thinks success is having power, having riches, having wisdom. Sound familiar? Okay. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. And then it's kind of cool because I looked down on my Bible as I was reading the notes, and it says, this is success to the Lord, that you know God. I was like, that's cool. And so sometimes, you know, you pray, sometimes you think, oh, I'm reading the Bible and I didn't get it. You know, many times he just surprises you in that moment. You know, I just simply had that thought, Jeremiah 9. I could have just ignored it and kept on going. But that's how he speaks. I want to give that to you as an example. And if you want to succeed, know God. Pretty simple. Sometimes we make so much out to be such a big thing. How am I ever going to do this? Well, just obey him. Just get to know him. Do what he asks you to do. Be who he asks you to be. And we can all do that. It's not impossible. So I want to take communion together this morning now. And I want to take a few minutes for all of us to examine our hearts, to invite the Lord to come. And it's just, if there's anything in our hearts that needs dealt with, would you give it to the Lord? I'm going to read Psalm 51. Could I get a couple people, Bud, Holly, would you guys help me just pass out the emblems this morning? And there's gluten-free crackers there as well. If you need them, just let them know. I want to read Psalm 51. And I want you to just take the next few moments. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Whenever you guys get emblems, if you want, just grab them first. I want to read this whole psalm, and I want to just take some time. We're going to take a few minutes and just allow the Lord to examine our hearts, to pray. I don't want to rush through this. And then we're going to have baptism, which is awesome. So I'm just going to read this as you receive. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Again, there's this cry from David. He recognizes he's sinned massively. I recognize my rebellion, and it haunts me day and night. Against you, and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight, and you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me, God, a clean heart. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you'll be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, and bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. You might have completely blown it. You might have messed up a lot this week, this month, this year, whatever. But when we come broken and we say, Jesus, I need you, he never turns that away. Amen? So we're just going to sing this song, and I just want you to take a few minutes to examine your heart, and we're going to take communion together after. And we're just going to invite the Lord to come to purify us, to refine us, to strengthen us, and to set us free. Let's sing this.